This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you've had a wonderful and restful weekend. We continue to bask in the post-Easter grace in the beginning of the sixth week after Easter. I want to take up today the gospel reading given to us at Mass today from John chapters 15 and 16. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's talking about the central theme of the giving of the Holy Spirit. He said this. He said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning." So in the sections in John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16, Jesus talks a great deal about the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. Of course, in some way, the entire Christian life can be summarized in the giving of the Holy Spirit. The work of salvation, Jesus uses the term, "I will send the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father." The Church teaches about the processions of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God saves his good creation that has fallen. He saves his good creation through his initiative, through his action. And it begins in the heart of a loving Father. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life." So the work of salvation, of the recreation of all things, begins in the heart of a loving Father. It's love that proceeds from the heart of the Father. And the Father sends his Word, which is his beloved Son, into the world. Jesus is the love of God incarnate. So Jesus becomes one of us as we walk through the whole Passion this last month and walk through the experience of the resurrection of the early Church coming to life. It's Jesus, first of all, dealing with everything that separates us from God. Through his Passion, death, and resurrection, he deals with the sin problem, which produces the death problem. Jesus brings about new life in his own person. In himself, he passes through from death to life. He makes a passageway now for the human race. He's the second Adam. He's the head of a new creation. He's the firstborn. The book of Revelation said he's the firstborn of a new creation, God's new thing, God's action of recreating the human race in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who blazes the trail. He passes through death, our great enemy. He obliterates our great enemy. He shines light into that darkness, which is within him. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." He passes into the darkness, sheds that light, dispels the darkness, comes forth from death, and begins literally the new creation in his own flesh, in his own person, taking humanity, taking each one of us, all those who are baptized into Jesus, and sharing what belongs to him. He takes us literally into the glory of the Father. That's the work of the new creation. Now, the heart of the Father comes to the Son, and the Son is sent by the Father on mission. His mission is to first reclaim the authority that belongs to God and to dethrone the enemy who's tried to usurp that authority. The drama of the kingdoms takes place in the person of Jesus here on this earth, and he breaks the power of the enemy. He reclaims what belongs to God, and he makes it possible for free creatures to follow him and to enter the Father's kingdom and to be a part of the Father's eternal plan. Through his death, his resurrection, Jesus brings about that new creation. And then he ascends to the right hand of the Father. We'll see that later this week. We're going to talk about the ascension. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and all power and authority belong to him. And then he goes on to say, as the Creed says, "The Father and the Son send forth the Spirit. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son." So Jesus is sent, then the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son to accomplish what Jesus and the Father have intended from the beginning. If you go back to John's Gospel in chapter 14, he talks about it this way. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus is talking to his apostles. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the central grace of Christianity. This is why Christianity is entirely unique and different than any other world religion or philosophy. Christianity is about the action of God who brings about the new creation, a new life. He brings human beings from death to life. How does that happen? By giving us the Holy Spirit to dwell with us and in us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. To become Christian means to become a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. Salvation, God's work of recreation happens through the action of the Holy Spirit present in his creation in an entirely new way because of the action of Jesus. Jesus brought with him in his flesh. The Holy Spirit dwelled in Christ in an entirely unique way. This is God's plan of salvation. That's why Jesus came in the flesh, so that he would be the firstborn, the first reality of that new thing that God is doing to bring about salvation and the recreation of all things. And what is that? Divine life, eternal life, God's life, the indestructible life of God dwells in human flesh in the person of Jesus. So we say he's the firstborn. And because of his action, his destroying the powers of sin and death and the control of the world of flesh and the devil, Jesus now made it possible for that Holy Spirit, that life of God, to be passed on to all those who would say yes to him, to his offer of this gift. So it's an extraordinary thing to think about, friends, that God's desire is not just to impose a set of rules on you and on me, but he calls us to open our hearts to him so that he could give to us what no man, no woman could ever attain or create or lay hold of on our own resources. That is what? God's divine life. You are so valuable, of such amazing, eternal value. Your life has meaning, friend. My life has meaning because God, who designed us, who made us, who thought of us, who brought us into being, has come to save and redeem us. Not just to point to a path, but to come and to dwell within us. This is where love comes from, friends. This is what love is. It's God's action of drawing us into the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the absolute offering of our lives to the Father, back to the Father, the one who's offered himself to us in the Son. Now we offer our lives back to him. Jesus has this beautiful line in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 17. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. The Father is so delighted in the Son. He loves the Son. Why? Because the self-donation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Jesus brings to the earth in the midst of this broken, fallen world, which is all about me first and acquiring and having and drawing all things to myself. And even in the crazy world, friends, think about this. Pope John Paul II spoke so much about the culture of death. That's a way of life that somehow has come under the rule and domination of death. Death becomes the antidote or the answer to humanity's biggest problems. And in order for us to be able to be happy or to be free, we somehow end up wielding the power of death. Look what happens in the case of so many abortions. You know, I saw on Google last year, I just looked it up. You know, there's been over 1 billion, the most kind of conservative estimate out there globally. 1.5 billion abortions have happened since 1973. I don't mean just here in the United States, but throughout the whole world. And it's always talked about as a right, as such an important thing. Even people would say it's somehow an act of mercy or an act of love or an act of kindness, so that a person who doesn't want a child doesn't have to bear the burden of that child. I'm not making judgments on all the people as if I understand every person, every situation. I know this. I know that in every single case, abortion is an objective evil. There's no doubt about that. But in this world, what the enemy does, when we're trapped in fear, we're afraid about the future, I don't have enough money for this, it doesn't fit into my plans, I'm ashamed, I'm not ready for this, it's panic, it's fear. And the world comes along and says, look, we want to make it easy for you to escape this. We have the answer for you. And the answer is pretty simple. Just kill the child. This burden you don't really want in your life, you don't have to have. That's the difference between the world and the kingdom, between a fallen human heart and a darkened mind and the mind of Christ. Jesus said, the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life for others in obedience to God the Father. It's my life for yours. It's not your life for mine. The world is, somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to sacrifice so I can be happy. And my preoccupation with my own happiness under the counsel of my fallen, darkened mind and under the counsel of the world of flesh and the devil, we're led to these crazy ideas. Look at Canada. The country of Canada now is Catholic politicians standing up and proudly declaring that euthanasia needs to be the law of the land, and the Catholic hospitals have to submit, and they must do this deed if somebody feels like they want to die. They can't handle life psychologically, emotionally, physically anymore, that everybody has to cooperate with killing this person. Friends, it's the darkness and the deception of this world. Life and death are in the hand of God. It's another way in which the world is taking out of the hands of God his prerogative and claiming it for ourselves and insisting we've got to do this in order for us to be free and to be happy. It's insanity. It's darkness. So Jesus is saying, I will send you the advocate who will lead you to all truth. The advocate is like a legal term. The Greek term is parakletos. It's advocate, helper. Jesus comes alongside us like an attorney or a spokesperson to defend our cause in a courtroom, the accusations of the enemy against us. He stands at the right hand of the Father right now, and he pleads for us on our behalf. And he sends the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us, knowing we struggle on earth. He's come to give us the strength we need to instruct us in all truth and to defend us against the persecution of the enemy, which he says right here, I told you this so you may fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he's offering worship to God. Jesus is so sober and clear-headed with the apostles about what they're stepping into because they're walking in his footsteps, and the world rejects Christ in his footsteps. And so even today, you can see this fulfilled in the decapitation of Christians by ISIS, by radical jihadists who are thinking they're offering worship to God, but they're not, because their minds are darkened and they don't have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding them. We're going to take this up again tomorrow, friends, because I think it's so timely and so important. Have a great day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.